We're going to continue, as promised, with our broadcast partners, Dr. Rob Congdon. He covers the European Union for us. You know, a unique piece of geography and political activity going on in Europe. It's called the European Union. There's some events unfolding that we need to keep abreast of. That's why we have Rob available on a weekly basis. We find him wherever he is around this world in order to be able to talk to him about it. And Rob, you know, the focus is on London, England with the Olympics. Well, I think it maybe should be on focus for some other reasons as well. Vladimir Putin, who is president of Russia for a third time now, met with the Prime Minister Cameron there at 10 Downing Street in London. I know that Putin was there for the Olympics, but they had this little sidebar meeting. A very interesting conversation, I'm sure, went on between these two men. Would you not say that's the case?
Absolutely. There's no question that Britain is still a key element in Europe. It is a key user of energy, and Russia is selling energy. And so, obviously, he wants to keep on good terms with them, and he wants to be able to not only be seen, Putin wants to be seen, but he does have to always consider Britain. It is not technically part of Europe, but it is a key part and a very economically strong part of Europe today. And so, obviously, their talks would have included much more than just how are you and what do you think, who's going to win the Olympics. They probably were talking about energy, about the strength of the euro. Now, Britain is not part of the euro, but the pound, which is the British currency, is very strong, and much of the world is kind of looking within Europe as can they in any way get that strength of Britain into the European Union.
Well, what about the fact they probably were talking about some foreign policy as well? And, you know, you get Putin and Cameron together, there's the issue of Syria, the Iranian situation, which Great Britain has to be concerned about as well. I'm sure some of those discussions were going on.
I would think so. One thing, though, is that we always have to keep in mind is that while Britain wants to diplomatically resolve problems, they no longer want to be involved in the actual conflicts. After the Iraq War, Britain has turned very much against being involved any more than they have to. So, yes, I think the talk would have been including Syria. It's hard to say where the British government would truly stand. They hate to see human rights being violated, but at the same time, they're not very anxious to see changes of government. So in that case, they might side well with Russia, who wants to maintain Assad's place in Syria and to see that continue as it is today.
You said that Great Britain is not part of the Eurozone. They are a part of the European Union, are they not?
Yes, they are. They kept their pound, their currency, separate, and right now it is extremely valuable currency to have. We call it, we say that it is strong. That means that £1 will buy far more than the euro will buy. And so Britain has a strength right now because they didn't get into the Eurozone, but they are part of the European Union.
Well, let's talk about that Eurozone crisis. The European Central Bank, now they are a major player financially, economically, in all of Europe, including the European Union, but they've disappointed the markets by some of their decision-making process, haven't they?
Well, they have. A week ago, the head of the European Central Bank suggested that the bank would go in and buy many of the bonds that the various countries were selling, for instance, Spain and Greece. If they bought up a large number of those, that would reduce, if you will, the price for other people to invest in those countries, and that might help those countries out with their crisis right now and their debt. He indicated they were going to do that, but this week he just came and, like the American equivalent, he did nothing. And so now there is quite concern in Europe that without the European Bank buying up bonds and trying to raise the values of them, the crisis could not only continue but get worse for Spain and Italy. And in doing that, people are very worried. They felt, and many have made the statement, that action should have been taken a while ago, and not still talk about a future action, which is what the European Bank is talking about. They're saying, we'll get to this, in other words. And like so many others in the European Union, they just keep pushing it off down the way and aren't taking the actions that they're going to have to take if they're going to solve this.
One of the reasons that we continually talk about the euro crisis as it relates to the European Union is Rob and I have come to the conclusion, students, both of us, of Bible prophecy, that you can focus on Israel, the Jew, the city of Jerusalem, but the other focus should be on the economic situation across our world, because economics will play a key role, especially at the midway point of the tribulation. When they set up Babylon, that one world economic, political, governmental system under the control of Antichrist, with everybody taking a mark of some type in order to be able to buy or sell. Now, Rob, you've mentioned the name Juncker, if I'm pronouncing it correctly. Remind me who that is, and talk to me about the fact that he said this week the euro saving operation is due. It needs to go into effect immediately.
That's right. Mr. Juncker holds various significant positions within the European Union, but my term for him really is he's the person that when he speaks, everybody stops and listens. He is known as a financial expert. He has influenced many decisions in the European Union, and he has been long suggesting that they start taking action soon. Just as you said, I too believe that ultimately in the tribulation, the finances are going to be a major factor, and in order to achieve that, it would have to be a single currency. So Juncker wants to see the single currency of the euro not only continue but expand. So he is a major voice, and when he's saying they've got to act, he might be the one that could awaken many of those in Europe to saying, all right, let's take action now, even as it will hurt and be painful. We must cure this poor patient.
Wow. Rob, thank you so very much, my good friend. We'll talk again next week, and keep everybody abreast of what's happening in a key geographical location, political and economic power base there in the European Union. We'll talk next week.
Okay, look forward to it. Lord bless.